Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's cold out there, but it's warm in here, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester United qualify for the Europa League, and Billy Gilmore impressed again. It's Wednesday, 9th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. Woohoo! Jimmy and Andy with me and you. How you doing, Ando?
I'm throwing up two W's to celebrate this Wednesday.
Ah! Ooh,
nice. Yeah.
Because you've left the gang scene, haven't you?
I have. Mm-hmm. The Wu-Tang have had enough of me.
Uh-huh.
Are they all right with you still using the sign?
The W? No, it's only if you cross the two hands to make the W.
Right.
Like sort of a bit like Nicholas and Elka celebrating a goal. Just doing separate W's, I claim it's the Wombles, so it's fine.
I thought it was maybe a little nod to Weston McKinney scoring that lovely goal at the Nou Camp.
Yes, could be.
Lovely volley.
Mm-hmm. Nice to see Aaron Ramsey winning at the Nou Camp,
Jim. It was, yeah. He can believe his luck.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, how are you, Big Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm actually, you know, I hadn't considered that. I'm glumming at the thought of Aaron Ramsey getting a win at the Nou Camp, and all it took was one of the greatest football institutions ever known to completely collapse.
Do you reckon when Ronaldo was taking the penalty, he was stood behind him going, "You're offside, Robin. You're offside, Robin."
I just feel like with Ronaldo, like he seems to just not be relenting in quality, and I'm quite scared of him now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's seen the TV series of The Boys, but there's a character in it called The Homelander. It's about superheroes, but the superheroes are all terrible people. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks they're great, but behind closed doors, they're absolute monsters.
Oh, no.
And Ronaldo reminds me of The Homelander, and I'm frightened of him, and I'm just putting it out there. Spare me, Cristiano, if it ever comes to it.
Oh, rumours that he might go back to Manchester United. Chevrolet apparently reportedly interested in helping out the deal.
Yeah, we'll drive him ourselves.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, maybe
you are ruining our share price.
Maybe, Jim, he's got, if that was the case, he'd have his eyes on the Europa League.
Yes.
A trophy I'm not sure he's won, Andy, I don't think.
I don't know if he could even see it. I don't know if it would be on his light spectrum, the Europa League. It's not of the requisite quality.
That is very true. Well, of course, Manchester United, they lost to RB Leipzig 3-2, and yeah, that whole kind of idea of Manchester United coming back, which has worked for them this season, it's finally run out of steam, Andy. Although they were so close to that equaliser, which was nearly an own goal.
That would have been the most fortunate comeback of all time.
That would have been... I think a lot of people would have just gone, maybe there is, you know, like the magic of the FA Cup. Maybe Solskjaer is right about this Manchester United sort of relentlessness of coming back. But it didn't happen, Andy. They're out.
Maybe Leipzig were freaked by the magic of it.
Wow.
The apparent magic of Manchester United comebacks.
Yeah.
Because United didn't produce many moments of great quality, did they?
That's fair
in order to come back. they barely had an effort worthy of the name until it was 3-0. Mm-hmm, you know, yeah. give or take a couple of decent saves from Gulashi and, of course, the Bruno Fernandes shot that from the free kick that hit the crossbar. They woke up way, way too late. And with all due respect to Southampton and West Ham, it's fine coming back from difficult positions against them. And in the case of West Ham, it could have been a much more difficult position than it actually was. Exactly. But Leipzig, a Champions League semi-finalists. I know that they're still a bit underrated by people. And my God, we will put that to rights on OTC tomorrow. But, you know, they played the game very well. Nagelsmann's subs were very good as well. And Kluivert, not just because of the goal, but the way he took pressure off the defence, mm-hmm. drew bookings from, what was Maguire and Williams, wasn't it?
He scared the defence, didn't he? By just running at them, around
into
them,
the corners.
Them,
it's like, so simple, yeah. if you've got a bit of pace.
They already seemed petrified. I mean, Harry Maguire said in the post-match interview, he said, well, we weren't ready for those opening 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, what on earth is that about, Jim?
Well, you wonder if it's because of the constant tactical shifts. You know, they don't know necessarily what their kind of the style that underpins them is. Do you know what I mean?
It's the
comeback.
So they said, right, okay, there's the two goals.
Yeah,
that's what you want, isn't it?
I know it's kind of, you know, a bit silly to compare them to teams like Liverpool and Man City because they're so far ahead. But, like, you don't even really have to have both eyes on the game to watch Liverpool and City teams like that and know what their style is, because it's so obvious. It just screams out at you. That's not the case with Man United. And I think that clearly that's the case with the players as well. I think he still doesn't know how to get the best out of the squad he's got. Not unreasonably, because it is a little bit all over the place, really. I feel like, as you touched on, Andy, in the first half, they just didn't look good enough. In the second half, they took too long to wake up. But even when they did wake up, they didn't look smart enough. You know, they didn't have the sort of tactical nous to get around the problem that they'd found themselves in. And
well, those two goals
were blood and thunder, but nothing more.
Yeah, those two goals were a huge helping of luck.
Yeah.
You'll never convince me that that was a penalty.
Oh, I mean, as you said, if they'd have got that third, it would have been a very questionable penalty. A sloppy second from Leipzig's point of view.
But maybe had a bit of hand in there.
And then it could have been an own goal. I mean, it could have been an enormous slice of good fortune. I mean, they did have a big bit of fortune, of course, with those two, but my goodness.
Yeah, the bit that amused me the most after Gulashi saved that from Mukiele, Konate just coming up to Mukiele.
Yeah.
It looked as if he was about to throw up. Going, it's okay, mate. Yeah. Breathe.
I know. But it's hugely disappointing for Manchester United because I know it's a tough group, but it's a Champions League group. I mean, yeah. I know they used to get gimmies back in the day, but
but it's the position they got themselves in. Well,
exactly.
They beat Leipzig 5-0 in the other game.
Yeah. They won in Paris, and obviously they beat Istanbul Başakşehir at home. But once you've got 9 points, I mean, It is hugely disappointing. And RB Leipzig are a handy side. There's no two ways about that. But it's the type of side, as you say, 5-0 at home seems a bit of an anomaly now. It's the type of side, Andy, that Manchester United, even in their current state, should be probably getting the better of.
Is that why you're hunched over your laptop, mocking up a graphic on how Paul Pogba costs more than the entire Leipzig side put together?
I feel that if I did, I would be way down the list of people that got there first.
Zeitgeisty.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Of course, it's all Mina Raiola's fault, probably. But
he would never hunch over your laptop, by the way. He would never hunch over his laptop, listeners. He's got a great posture, as Marcus Speller.
Yeah.
Certainly not Raiola. but yeah, I mean, Solskjaer, again, some of his quotes, you know, we never got going, we didn't turn up until they got the second goal. You can't say we were good enough, we weren't good enough. It's almost like he sat in the studio with Scholes and Ferdinand.
It's true, he sounds like a pundit kind of being sad about Man United from a distance rather than the man in the dugout. And it's just, you wonder how long it's going to be now before they pull the trigger on Solskjaer, because we touched on last week, I believe, that he's quite good at pulling out a win when it looks like he's going to be under pressure, and he got that at West Ham. But going out of the Champions League in this manner is really, really bad. And people say he looks like Andy Serkis. I wonder, are they just waiting to see if he will go full Gollum? I see, will he actually go full Gollum if it keeps getting worse?
Well, I think that's maybe what it is. He's sort of going, the team was bad, they were awful, they were. But, you know, we're still Man United. And then he goes back to, you know. Yeah. There's an element of that, I think, Jim. You're onto something there.
I also wonder if, like, you know, we know that people see Man United coming. People know they have money because they're Man United. They have to pay a premium on players. That's just is the case. And I wonder if that's true with managers as well. So, like, is every defeat and every embarrassment just making Pochettino more expensive? It's like, well, yeah, look, it's going to cost you more now.
Well, they might lose him to Real Madrid if they're not careful. I say lose him, they don't have him, for crying out loud.
I mean, of course.
They can lose anything. Yeah, true. They lost Jonah Obi Mikel to Chelsea, didn't they? And they've had him.
There are some United fans out there who are going, well, what about Nagelsmann? Forget about Allegri and Pochettino. What about Nagelsmann? But I think if you see a man who, bearing in mind how cold it is in Saxony at the moment, still you're looking at leather gilet plus Moncler winter coat over the top. That is not cheap.
Yeah.
It's saying basically, if you want to get me, it's going to cost you.
It's like wearing a mink coat on telly, isn't it?
Oh, were you? Yeah, Andy, on BT Sport the other
day. Like a full one. I mean, it only came down to my ribs, that one.
Well, if you haven't seen
this, Nagelsmann had it, have it round to his ankles.
Check out the Football Ramble socials. You will see Andy on BT Sport wearing, probably not mink, but, you know, that sort of faux suede jacket.
You know what I mean.
That sort of, it's like a big fluffy fleece.
Maybe cat or something. It just reminds me of, you know, when Blackadder in Blackadder 3 is going to become an MP.
Yeah.
And he gets that sort of poncho made out of cats, and it's still got the little tags on it.
Yeah, you're an absolute monster yourself, Andy. Before we move on, we have to mention...
I would not hurt any cats.
No. You get other people to do that. He doesn't.
If they're roadkill, though, it's fair game, isn't it?
Get other people to do that. What a dark little...
I told you he was a monster. I really did. Somebody's going to believe me one day. But also, though, Andy, as long as being a monster, you do know a lot about football and you know a lot about Angelino. Because on last week's On the Continent, you were praising him. And he got the opening goal. The Man City man. He's still a Man City player, technically. With a lovely goal.
He did say afterwards, it's even better against them, didn't he?
It's even better against them when they don't mark you. Presumably.
Oh, dearie me. Yeah, so poor for Manchester United. But, you know, they're back in the Europa League. They could win it again. More of a chance, you could say, than winning the Champions League. I fear Manchester United fans won't be happy with that comment, though.
Do you think Solskjaer can make as much of a "we made it" sort of glory moment out of it as Jose Mourinho did?
No, absolutely
very different
not.
Circumstances,
very
I would
different
say.
Circumstances and very different skill sets when it comes to playing the media, shall we say. I do think, though, like, you know, as we touched on, you know, somebody potentially coming in to replace Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I feel like we've been saying this since the moment he took the job, and he remains in the job. United keep backing him. But I do think it's a matter of time now. But at the same time, I'm sure a lot of United fans would agree with me on this, I think the problems are at board level, aren't they? The problem is with the structure at the club.
Totally.
It's whoever comes in is facing a much bigger challenge than it appears to be, and based on the fact that it's Man United.
That's why he's still there, isn't it? He's the ultimate shield for the board from criticism. But I mean, I just find the whole discourse around Ole in or Ole out, it's crackers. Like, the idea that we should be judging Manchester United on specific games, like, if they win this game, he's safe.
Yeah,
and it's one in the eye for the doubters.
Yeah.
And if he loses this game, it's all gone to hell in a handcart. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How can we be judging Manchester United on individual games? It just speaks for that just lack of plan, really, doesn't it?
Mm. No, it does. It does, gentlemen. Elsewhere in the same group, of course, but Paris Saint-Germain played Istanbul Başakşehir. Both teams walked off in the 14th minute after the fourth official used the words, and I'll set you say the words because it's not a racial slur in itself, but of course, you know, it has connotations, when he identified Başakşehir assistant Pierre Webbo as the black one over there. And when this was heard, I'm sure some people have seen the footage of Demba Ba react quite strongly to this, understandably. And I was it about 10 minutes or so, you know, a handful of minutes after that, there was much talking. Players were clearly upset, and again, understandably so. And there was a united front across both teams, and they both turned in and said, no, we're not having this. So again, we're talking about racism, Jim.
Yeah, and it coming from an official is absolutely shocking, really, isn't it? It's always shocking, but unfortunately we are seeing it more and more. So it is in the news cycle a lot, but it being from an official is really, really strange and really surprising. And there's been a lot of different sort of talk about the use of the the word that he used, basically, mm-hmm. just effectively being a descriptor. And mm-hmm. I've seen people surprised at that. Michael Richards even sort of expressed a little bit of sympathy in a studio, saying that he would, you know, he wouldn't necessarily be upset by that. But I think you've got to look at the reaction of both sets of players. Mm-hmm. And also, we are sat here as privileged white men. And if anyone's looking at that going, hang on, can you not say that now? It's a moment rather than to go, oh, you can't say anything more. And rather to go, well, actually, do I need to analyse what I think is and isn't mm-hmm. okay? Because obviously no one's ever pointed at me and described me as the white guy. So mm-hmm. actually, I'm sure if that did happen, I'd go, hang on. And if that's something that happens to you all the time mm-hmm. and just wears you down, perhaps at some point this is going to happen. And that seems to be what's happening is in a lot of cases, isn't it? Is people mm-hmm. are just, they've had enough, they're sick of mm-hmm. certain things and they're coming to the fore in this way.
Mm. I mean, you should say, you know, the fourth official in that particular game, he's a top flight referee in Romania, and is reportedly officiating in his final European campaign after being demoted by FIFA. But he apologised, saying, sorry for the misunderstanding, my intention was never racism. In such an environment, people sometimes cannot express their feelings correctly and can be misunderstood. I apologise on behalf of the UEFA Nations, the UEFA Champions League. I've always got international football on the mind, sorry everybody. So, the thing is, Andy, you know, we can sort of scrutinise the language and so on, but perhaps that's not the point here.
I don't think it is the point at all. I find it difficult to believe that a match official,
long in the tooth,
in an international competition, can't really find the correct words and doesn't know that's totally unacceptable. And it's just what Jim said, really. The fact that people are just fed up. The front cover of L'Équipe today says sick of it, just on the cover. And there's two things. Firstly, Demba Ba played an absolute blinder there. I mean, he's someone who you might be aware of, an enormous amount of respect for as well. He's intelligent, he's worldly, and I thought he expressed himself brilliantly. You know, he was rightly outraged, but he expressed himself very clearly as well, as he was right to do. And of course, I think the other part of it is that he was supported so much by Paris Saint-Germain players.
Yes.
I think, and that's not just about the fact that it feels like it's a moment in football or and society. I think we have to say as well that what's going on in Paris at the moment is really important, because we go back, not really recently actually, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Michel Zecler, black music producer, was beaten up in his studio mm-hmm. and racially abused in his studio by three white police officers. And this is a huge story in France, and people are rightly absolutely disgusted about it. Emmanuel Macron has talked about it in quite strong terms and pledged to make huge changes to how police do things and how accountable police are in France. And, you know, that was a situation in which nothing ever would have happened if he hadn't have had cameras in his studio. Mm. And, you know, you've had Kylian Mbappe come out and speak about that, Antoine Griezmann as well. And so I do just, there is a context in Paris as well. And I think you saw that with Presnel Kimpembe, for example, who's a local boy becoming one of the leaders of the team, saying, look, if that guy's there, we're not playing. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the point to make, that it's not anyone getting offended for the sake of it or working an angle or any of those things mm-hmm. that people will say on Twitter. It is something that all those players were feeling.
Mm-hmm. And I think as well, with the official himself, I mean, I don't know what anything about this guy, and I'm sure not that many people do, so things may or may not come out in the sort of coming days. But I think in the current climate, you know, especially with, you would think, UEFA forgiving training about equality and so on, it's kind of like, just mind how you go, for crying out loud. Yeah. And again,
well, the thing is, Marcus, whatever his intentions, the statement is just shit. I mean, it says, in such an environment, people sometimes cannot express their feelings correctly and can be misunderstood. What do you mean in such an environment? In any environment.
I mean, at your job.
Well, also as
effectively,
well.
Effectively, is what he's talking about. It's hard not to come across terribly while I'm at work, is what he's saying.
Well, and also as well, I mean, you know, it's not. Pierre Webbo is feet away from him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, go over and just point or put your hand on his, or so,
it's just,
whatever.
It's total lack of respect, isn't it?
It is. I think that's the thing. When people look at that sentence and just think, well, he's just, as you said earlier, Jim, just use something to identify. It is. There is disrespect there, whether he's meant it or not.
It's rude and dismissive.
It is dismissive. Mm. It does come across as that.
And really, there's no excuse for that type of ignorance, because you simply can't work in football and not see the messaging that's coming from everywhere and what's happening in society, and actually genuinely be ignorant. There's no way that you are actually ignorant of these issues, and you simply have to know it's not tolerable at that point.
Yes, well, the match will, of course, be played later today at 5 to 6 UK time. So we shall see what happens there. But of course, no matter what happens, you know, Manchester United do finish third in the group. Chelsea, moving on to them, they drew at home to Krasnodar 1-1. I mean, sort of fairly, sort of, it was a bit of a dead rubber for Chelsea, of course, already a guaranteed top spot. Lovely to see Newcastle legend Remy Kabaya with the opener for Krasnodar.
Lovely finish as well.
It was. Unfortunately for Kepa, who was back inside, couldn't keep a clean sheet, but you can't blame him for that one.
No, that one was.
Even though when Luke's back on the show, he may well do.
Yeah. Do we save that for Luke, or do we find a way to blame him?
Yeah,
it's a little surprise for him. You know, it's like if you got to work and you found someone had bought you a cupcake or something.
I remember when you used to do that for us.
I would be, before I got big with my mint coat.
You know, pockets to hide them in.
Exactly. I would be honoured to concede a goal by Remy Kabaya.
You would.
Honoured.
I would just say that, you know, Mendy didn't not keep a clean sheet.
See what you mean. So, yes, the plot thickens. What about wee Billy Gilmore, Jim?
Yeah.
The plot is thickening for that young, talented man, eh?
Yeah, he's clearly a very talented player, isn't he? And he's Chelsea, they've got a lot of those exciting young players coming through. And Gilmore, I think, like every time he plays, it feels like a cameo. Mm-hmm. But every time that cameo steals the show.
It's a bit of the sort of the Chelsea Phil Foden, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's dropped in there. He's a good player, isn't he? And then he's out the side for a number of. He has been injured, to be fair, actually.
Yeah.
Come back from an injury, we should say.
It's a little bit like staying on the Blackadder theme. It's like Flashheart turns up. Who cares what anyone else is doing?
Similar accents, exactly. You know? for those who get that reference. But yeah, we want to see more of Gilmore. I mean, with those kind of performances, could he maybe even feature at the European Championships?
Oh, without a doubt.
Come on. Come on, Andy. You know what I'm saying. yes, indeed. So, easy peasy for Chelsea, really, even though it was just a 1-1 draw. Fans back in Stamford Bridge. That was nice.
Jorginho did the little Fernandes penalty leap, didn't he?
So he would say that was his rather than Fernandes.
Has he been doing it for longer than?
Oh, Jorginho's been doing that for ages.
Really?
Yeah.
I've missed that. Possibly because I find Jorginho to be an incredibly boring player.
but Fernandes has a more pronounced leap.
He does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like he's going up for a header.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Both scored their penalties, of course, last night. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Fernandes has had a lot of practice recently, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah, so he bloody should. Andy, on the continent tomorrow, you, Dotton and Miguel Delaney are going to talk a lot more about those European stories, eh?
Yes, we will.
Yes, you will.
Join us.
Yeah, search Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your podcast to find it. And do hit that subscribe button to ensure that you never, ever, 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 ever miss an episode, because it's going to be great. No doubt you're going to talk about Ronald Koeman shouting "shut up" to the Juventus bench. He's struggling, isn't he? I thought he was going to be good. They're still, get rid of Messi, for crying out loud.
I mean, you know what? It could work for you, Marcus. I reckon you're going to be his assistant before Christmas at this rate. The only man left in the Western world who believes in him.
Oh, I don't know. I think Wijnaldum might believe in him. What do you think? That's on the continent, ladies and gentlemen. Football Ramble Presents.
Just make sure you take Memphis with you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, very good. Very good indeed. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham without reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yeah, swear to God.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Tsakanov production.
Merry Christmas!
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Love that guy. Mm. Love that guy.
And he's banging his tube all the time. That is high praise.
You got your stairs leading up to the tube. Okay, right. It's welcome back to, of course, to the Football Ramble. Get in touch with us if you want to send us an email. It's show@footballramble.com. If that doesn't remind you of the email address, then this will.
Just email show@footballramble.com. Right now.
Of course, you can also tweet us at Football Ramble, where you can see Andy in his mink coat. Over to you, Jimmy Campbell.
Gavin Cook's been in touch. He says, "Hi guys, when I was a young kid, probably around 10 or 11, my hobby was to write to pretty obscure footballers and ask for their autographs."
Hobby.
Hobby, indeed. I had a few, including Adam Porridge, who played for Sheffield Wednesday at the time, Matty Holmes, Stuart Ripley, and up-and-coming young player at the time called David Beckham.
Ooh.
Around the same time, I had a girl I was trying to impress who was a Man United supporter. To express my undying love for her, I gave her said autograph from Mr. Beckham. Flash forward to today, and I found out that it's worth thousands. Never heard from the girl again. Incidentally, on the plus side, I was a huge Blackburn supporter at the time, and I wrote to Tim Flowers, and he replied with one of the nicest handwritten letters I've ever seen, telling me to work hard and saying one day I could become a top keeper. I'm not. And my mother also faxed Alan Shearer, asking for a birthday card, to which he sent a handwritten one back. Handwritten birthday card's probably easier than a printed one, to be fair, Gavin, but still.
He assumes it was Alan Shearer.
Yeah, quite indeed. My mum also asked to marry him in the fax too. Because she faxed him asking for that birthday card, which is brilliantly on point for anything involving communicating with a footballer.
How did they get his fax number?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, get back in touch, Gavin, and let us know how your mum got Alan Shearer's fax number.
Because that is like having his phone number. There's something dodgy about this.
I mean, for could have faxed the club.
Yeah, they would have faxed Blackburn.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But my mum also asked to marry him in the fax too. Not sure if this counts as mum behaviour, but there you go. Cheers, Gavin, not Alan Shearer's stepson. So,
apparently you can get Beckham autographs on eBay for £25, which should soften the blow of this autograph being worth thousands. But it depends what was signed.
Apparently autographed underwear for £75, which is a bit dark, that, isn't it? I hope it's not David doing that himself. You know, like when people sell their knickers to, like, strange businessmen from around the world.
Yeah, I mean, would it not be a printed signature, or is it a handwritten one? I don't know.
Yeah. So it's quite hard to sign pants.
Well,
footballramble.com, ladies and gentlemen, for your signed underwear.
You know, apparently the autographed Beckham underwear for £75 is listed as pre-owned.
Well,
does that
go.
Mean pre-worn or just pretty? He could have bought them and gone, nah, these don't support me enough. I'll put them on eBay because I'm David Beckham and I need to try them on.
Yeah, how's he going to know they don't support him enough without trying them on?
He maybe just held them. Oh, the plot thickens. A lot of thickening plots when we're talking about David Beckham's underwear. Anyway, Andy. What have you got for us?
I've got something hopefully a lot more wholesome from James Dobson. On the subject of dads doing weird stuff at football, I have an excellent memory from my childhood. The scene was Elland Road, 4th of October 2003, Leeds versus Blackburn. Leeds were on their downward spiral. Of course, that was the relegation season, wasn't it? But Dad and I trekked down from Darlington, as we always had done, to take our seats in the East Stand. Pre-game, each seat had a card for us all to hold up to show some message or some such. As the teams came out, we stood up as usual, belting out Marching On Together, when suddenly my old man went down like a sniper had picked him off from the opposite stand, shouting, "Oh, bastard, my eye!" As he's writhing in the ground, clutching his face, I look around for the culprit. Next to him is one of the cards perfectly crafted into a paper aeroplane.
Oh, that's nasty.
Turns out someone above us had hoisted this card aeroplane and the tip had perfectly hit Dad in the eyeball. Ugh.
Oh, that is nasty.
Being the dramatic man he is, he marched me into the first aid room to get seen to. We then hear two quite loud eruptions from the crowd. Turns out we have missed Seth Johnson's finest hour in a league shirt, Leeds shirt, as he scores a brace. We make it out for the second half to watch Blackburn score, and that's that.
Oh, no.
Dad's been scared of paper aeroplanes ever since.
Well, I witnessed a marvellous moment, one of my favourite moments at Wembley, watching England, which involved a paper aeroplane. It was a pre-tournament. I forget which tournament. It might have been for Euro 2016. Could be wrong there, but it was around that time, and it was England against Peru in a friendly. I think they won 3-0 or 3-1 on that day, and it was one of those typical England friendlies where it was a bit boring, and there was cars and people were chucking these aeroplanes and trying to chuck them on the pitch, and I was sat quite high up, but people, I can never make paper aeroplanes, but people loft them, when you get one that glides and it goes right onto the pitch, it is enormously satisfying, and often gets a little bit of a cheer from the crowd. And you may well...
Not a Vespa, is it, though?
It's not a Vespa, Andy, certainly
or
not.
Or a pig's head.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's definitely none of those things. What do you mean just someone launching that Vespa? Whee!
Yeah.
Could kill someone, Andy. But this paper aeroplane, this one in particular went down, and everyone was like, oh my goodness, this is going. And suddenly it was nearing the Peruvian fullback, and everyone was like, oh. Now some people may well remember seeing the footage of this. You can still see it. This went from the back of Wembley, 90,000 seat of Wembley Stadium, all the way, and it knocked the fullback on the shoulder. The cheer went up.
That is incredible.
It was like England scored.
Who was the manager at the time?
I think it was Hodgson.
I was wondering if you were maybe trying to get your number down to Sven.
If you feel a touch, you go down if you're the fullback, don't you?
Yeah, I'd
see, that's the only way that would have been perfect.
Yes.
Of course, we don't condone that, do we, Jim?
Mm.
going down under the paper aeroplane challenge.
No, I'm all for
it. Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you very much for your emails there, everybody. That's marvellous stuff indeed. Now, talking of international football, let's have a bit of, let's have some more World Cup 2022 nonsense. Qatar are joining UEFA qualifying. Well, they are and they aren't. They've been invited by UEFA to join Group A, which features Ireland, Portugal, Serbia, Azerbaijan and Luxembourg. But of course, a bit like what France did ahead of Euro 2016.
Yes.
They there won't be any points. They won't actually be in the group, but they will just the friendlies will be arranged around that group.
In or around the group, would we say?
You could say that, Andy. Yes. You could say that. More I think about that Peruvian one, I think it was a pre-World Cup 2014 one.
That's not the story here. You nerd.
Now, Qatar are turning into the Harlem Globetrotters, so they're going to be involved with the UEFA teams there. They're also set to play in regional Americas tournaments, the Gold Cup and the Copa America. They did play in the Copa America last year, I believe, so they're going to play in 2021. Basically, they are worried that they're going to be crap when they host the tournament.
So they're in everything, aren't they? They're in Eurovision next year as well. Just they're covering every base.
Indeed.
Yeah, Eurovision's great fun until you accidentally win it and end up hosting it.
I heard
that, Ireland found. Over and over again.
I heard that Qatar, they're bringing back the Anglo-Italian Cup and they're going to be in that.
I missed that tournament, actually.
Indeed. They're going to be in the Tennent Sixes as well, for those in Scotland who remember that. But what do we think of this? Part of me thinks, well, from Qatar's point of view, Jim, it makes sense. Of course, and I get the fact that you know they have been invited to Copa America, and they do invite teams from far and wide. I understand that France did this in 2016, and another part of me does think you're taking the piss a bit, sort of thing.
Yeah, I kind of see both sides of it. It's probably a little bit annoying for those teams that are playing an extra game as well, particularly you know with the schedule being as crowded as it is now. There's going to be a knock on of that.
They probably would be playing a friendly though.
Yeah,
in that at that time,
that's fair. But
politically expedient elements of international football. Who'd have thought?
But you perhaps want to choose your friendlies of your own accord in a certain way. But I mean, there is precedent of this, isn't there? And like France, as you touched on, have done it before. And there was chat for a long time that actually you can be at a bit of a disadvantage as a host. Because you don't have competitive football coming into it. And a lot of teams have complained about that. So I think that it's not an unreasonable thing to allow teams to do this.
Well, it is the reason why...
I think people are perhaps...
It's the reason why the winners wanted to qualify.
Exactly. Mm. I think people are perhaps jumping on Qatar because it's Qatar. And because there's a lot of controversy around the hosting of the World Cup.
So what you're doing, Jim, the official line is that you are joining Richard Keys in defending Qatar. Have I understood that correctly?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
I've gone over to the dark,
can I make
sorry.
A small prediction of what's going to happen? Cristiano Ronaldo is going to score the goal that makes him the biggest goal scorer in international football history, going past that Ali Daei record against Qatar.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Hang on, how many goals is he offered? He's a fair few still.
Have you seen them?
Not that many.
He's going to get it, Marcus.
Yeah. No, I know he's going to get it, but I don't
know. Have you seen who else is in the group?
Yeah, true enough. He's going to score about 9 against Luxembourg, isn't he? I don't know. Andy,
they set up a friendly against Andorra so he could get his numbers up. Like, the whole point of the Nations League is not to play Andorra anymore. Cristiano, who's your dream game? You know, you're coming into the twilight years of your career. Would you like to face Messi again? Would you like to go head-to-head with France?
We can get
to
Brazil.
Revive 2016, exactly. Yeah. You know what I'd really like, boss? Andorra.
Yeah. Have you got any ski resorts on that list of potential friendlies we could play against?
Is there anyone shitter than Andorra?
Yeah. Have Vatican City, have they been signed off yet?
Can I remind you that previous record holder, Pauletta, scored 5 against Kuwait?
Did he really?
A Vatican City got a team.
It's Romario-esque, isn't it? With his 1,000 goals project.
No, it's not, because he scored them.
No, well, true. No, but the getting the numbers up thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Do you remember later in his career, Romario, I think, am I right in thinking he had a contract somewhere where if he was in a goal scoring position, the players had to pass to him. It was like it was in the team rules almost.
Yeah, it was written in that he would take the penalties, although, I mean, to be fair, that's not...
Yeah, that's not unusual. There was some.
You're right.
It may not have been true. It might have just been hearsay,
but it's believable. I mean, speaking of these kind of records, Messi's 2 off Pele's club record for a single club. I think.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, So
unfortunately, it looks like he's never going to score again for Barcelona at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny though when you mention that friendly against Andorra though, because Ronaldo only scored one in the 7-0 win.
It was like the sixth, wasn't it? I think
something like that. My goodness. Well, it's building nicely ahead of 2022. I mean, the qualifying, of course, starts in March. Reading this, it's because of the
Marcus
being in
you are going to be like a pig in shit next year. There is going to be so much international football. It's unreal.
A dog with two willies, Andy.
Yes.
Now, gentlemen, let us go to Argentina. Of course, recently Diego Maradona died, and we've been talking about that, and there's been many people sort of eulogising over his footballing career and so on, and there's a lot of people commemorating his life. Well, someone has suggested, and not just anybody, it's a senator, Norman Durango, has suggested to Congress that the late player get on the 1,000 peso note. They want Diego Maradona on money, everybody. And that was mentioned on Monday, of course. I mean, there's an multi-purpose note, Jim, sort of thing.
Yeah, what he would have wanted, in a way.
Why can't they just do a coin?
A coin!
Yeah.
Do a coin! Crying out ruddy loud.
A stamp. Zlatan got a stamp.
I know, yeah. Andy.
Oh, there was talk that there would be a stamp as well.
Right.
I think they're just trying to do as much as possible, aren't they? Because, yeah. I mean...
Not a banknote.
Well, you know, Diego Maradona is probably the only footballer ever who's been genuinely deified.
Yeah.
So this is going to keep happening with the renaming of Napoli Stadium and the banknotes and stuff like that. And the idea is, apparently, the proposal has been that it'll be his face on one side and it'll be a picture of his second goal against England on the other side. And I think if you're going to do that, do the first one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do the first one. Imagine what Thermos Head Shilton would think about that. Do it here.
Yeah.
Put it on a note here.
I was going to say, either way, Shilton or Butcher will be on a banknote in Argentina.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That has made my year.
Terry Butcher won't need, any kind of electricity in his house. His anger will just fuel that.
Looking up to the grid,
mate. Put panels on him, for crying out loud. He'll fuel the whole village. My goodness. Oh, dearie me.
Be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Do you know, it got me thinking about footballers on banknotes, because I remember George Best in Northern Ireland.
Yes.
His face was on banknotes. Do you remember after World Cup 2018, there were 6 banknotes in Britain that were released with Harry Kane on them?
Really?
Because obviously commemorating his 6 goals. Apparently they're worth a lot of money, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
What denomination of notes?
I forget which one which it was.
They're going to be worth at least 50 quid then.
Exactly. So the same is worth about 50 grand and so on.
Wow.
I mean, Matt, what kind of a genius have you got to be? You sold a £20 note for £50,000. You know?
You'd want one of those if you were Harry Kane.
I'll tell you what.
Although buying it might feel a bit self-indulgent.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Imagine if he just happened to get one. Oh, brilliant. Actually, part of the reason that Norma Durango is the senator that's proposed the idea of putting a Maradona banknote out, she said that... part of the idea is that it will be the highest denomination, and the idea is that tourists will want a Maradona note.
Well, the 1,000 peso note is not actually that high in terms of when it's converted to pounds, and also with the inflation rate in Argentina, that won't be worth much in a couple of months away. It's going sadly. But yes, you're absolutely right. It was sort of a touristy type thing. In Brixton in South London, they've got the Brixton.
Yes, the Brixton pound.
Yeah, which has got David Bowie's on one of the notes there, apparently. Makes he's
sense.
From Brixton.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Brixton pound note is still used there. It was used locally in certain shops to try and get spending boosted in the local area. I don't know if it's still in circulation. We should get down to Brixton and check that out. But yeah, other than George Best and Harry Kane, I couldn't think. In my mind's eye, I thought Norberto Solano was on banknotes in Peru. But I can't find any evidence to that. Maybe I'm conflating...
But it turns out it was in Jesmond.
Yeah. I think I've got my wires crossed here because back in 2007, hundreds of £20 notes were seized by trading standards. Officers found fake notes during a raid at a car boot sale in Blade and Rugby Ground in Gateshead. This was because the notes, which apparently were meant to be like a little bit of fun, like almost like Monopoly money, they featured the Newcastle United club crest with images of Alan Shearer on one, Solano on another, Mark Viduka, Michael Owen, instead of the Queen's head, they were on there. And also Kieran Dyer and Stephen Taylor.
Some real legends on there. Michael Owen.
I'd have Dyer and Bowyer on there.
Yeah,
that
fighting.
Doja as a collective, but Boya's face, when it was, Luke once described it as a clenched fist.
Yeah, like it was turning into a clenched fist.
I mean, if you had like a £10 note with Boya and Dyer in,
yeah,
you would have to go into a shop and go, hello, mate, can you split this?
Soonest inside, just to rip apart. Yeah, apparently the notes were intended as collectible gifts, but they were worn because they could be folded and passed as real. Other notes in that little seizure had Pirates of the Caribbean stuff on there, The Simpsons and Disney Snow White. You know, of equal standing as Michael Owen, presumably, in the Newcastle Gateshead.
I really hope The Simpsons one was like Lionel Hutz.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, though, you think when you've got Alan Shearer and Norberto Solano, two absolute legends of Newcastle United, if you were talking about notes of Mark Viduka and Michael Owen, you'd think they'd be associated with some sort of protest, wouldn't you?
Maybe. Yeah. Although, whenever I think of Mark Viduka, I think of Mark Viduka.
It's a fantastic joke.
Mark Viduka.
Yes, nice.
And that's worthy of a banknote anywhere in the world for my money, Andy. And it would be for my money.
That does make me think of the end of season two of The OC, though, so it does make me a bit sad.
Ah, oh, dearie me. Well, everybody, that is the end of the show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard today, ladies and gentlemen, presumably you have because you're still with us, a quick reminder that you can get more of me, Jim and Andy, over on the Football Ramble Patreon. For just $5 a month, you get access to the Ramble Discord, where you can chat with us and fellow listeners about all sorts, as well as a weekly bonus episode. This week, Luke, Jim and myself took a trip down memory lane and revisited some of our favourite memories from our football watching and podcasting past, including watching a man lower a TV in a conservatory in the middle of a thunderstorm in Kiev in 2012. Genuinely happened. If you want to get a bit more of that insanity and inanity, just head over to patreon.com/footballramble and sign up. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much again for listening to today's show. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Luke and Vish. Until then, say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Laters.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
See ya.
And it's goodbye from me, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.